We're joined by members of PEAK, which recent PEAK Coalition. They recently put out a report about the issue of expensive polluting peaker plants in New York City, which disproportionately impact low-income neighborhoods and communities of color, cost about $4.5 billion over the past decade. And we're joined by Anel Hernandez, who's Associate Director of the New York City Environmental Justice Alliance, as well as Seth Mollendore, who's Vice President and Project Director of the Clean Energy Group, and Rachel Spector, who's with New York Lawyers for the Public Interest. So, Anel, perhaps we can start with what is a peaker plant and what is the PEAK Coalition?
Yes, thank you. So I wanted to start off by saying that our coalition formed on the heels of the passage of the New York State Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, which set a target of a carbon-free electricity sector by 2040. And knowing that we have this big climate goal to reach, we came together, my organization, the New York City Environmental Justice Alliance, our members, UpRose and the Point CDC, as well as New York Lawyers for the Public Interest and Clean Energy Group, to tackle the issue of peaker plants. And peaker plants are some of the most polluting power plants that only get turned on during peak demand. For example, if there's a heat wave and everybody starts using their air conditioners, energy demand is going to increase, and that's when they turn on these peaker plants. And these have been disproportionately cited in low-income communities and communities of color, and is one of the major localized sources of pollution. And we've been battling these peaker plants for decades now, really. And so we wanted to highlight peaker plants and the solutions to replace them as one of the key ways to get us to the targets in the CLCPA.
Now, I'm not an expert on peaker plants at all, but I do recollect a while back that one of the various state entities was having a proceeding to curtail the use of peaker plants. Is that adequate to the problem, particularly with the impact upon low-income communities? Maybe Seth or Rachel.
This is Rachel. So one thing that has recently happened, in addition to the CLCPA that Anel mentioned, is the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation put out a new regulation with lower emission limits for NOx, for nitrogen oxides, specifically coming from these type of peaker plants around the state. And they have, many of them have extraordinarily high NOx emissions, especially in relation to the amount of energy they generate. So these new emissions limits will lower the amount of pollution they're allowed to emit. But it's not zero. They will still be allowed to pollute. I think it's going to force a number of plants that are way over these limits to shut down or install pollution controls or come up with alternate ways of meeting the limits in the next coming years. They start to go into effect in 2023. So that's one thing that will happen, but that rule doesn't really... it doesn't show the path forward. So for example, there is a plant that's planning to shut down because of these new rules, but it's planning to put in a new fossil fuel peaker plant in place of the old ones. So the new rule is something, it'll get us somewhere, but it's not going to solve the problem.
Now these peaker plants sound like they're probably even dirtier with emissions than normal. And certainly my understanding when we're talking about fossil fuels, it's not just the smell, but you're talking about actual real health impacts upon particularly low income residents. So what are some of the concerns that people have been expressing? Maybe it's Seth's turn.
Sure, I can jump in here. It's extremely important in particularly today's environment with the coronavirus and the current pandemic we're in. Multiple studies have now shown that there is a linkage between emissions, nitrous oxide emissions and particulate emissions, and mortality rates, higher mortality rates for infected people with the coronavirus. These peaker power plants emit both of those. And it's not just natural gas they're burning. Some of these burn kerosene, they burn oil. And they date back, some of them, 50 years before there were modern pollution controls, and they still do not have them. The NOx rules will help. But as Rachel said, it doesn't necessarily eliminate peaker plants. It might just be that we get newer ones. So it's increasingly important, we're seeing this today playing out in real time, that these communities have been impacted by these emissions throughout the years. It's time to just eliminate them completely. And there are ways to do that. There are alternatives, battery storage and clean energy, solar and wind, that can replace these plants, and that needs to be done now.
Now, of course, there's been ongoing struggles with the Cuomo administration about shutting down various fossil fuel infrastructure. In fact, I believe on May 17th is the decision dateline again for the Williams pipeline. But what would you like to see the state legislature, the governor, the city council do at this moment to help alleviate or solve this problem in these communities?
Yeah, I can take that one. I think what we want to see is a major and equitable investment in clean energy infrastructure throughout New York City and throughout the state. And that has to be a combination of large scale generation, like offshore wind or wind farms and solar farms, as well as targeted energy efficiency interventions, distributed energy generation, to really get us where we need to be to address peak demand and start shutting these down. And we want the state to really enforce what we laid out in the CLCPA to get us there.
Now, this report's been out a week or two at this point, or I guess a week. What has the response been from government officials? Are you, getting commitments to take the type of actions you want?
We're hoping to have additional conversations with key decision makers on this. We've gotten some local and national press attention to this, but hopefully those conversations are forthcoming.
And if people want to read the report, or if they want to get more information about this situation, what are some of the steps they can take individually?
You can definitely check out our website, peakcoalition.org. We have the report available there, as well as some fact sheets in English and Spanish that talk about the issue. So definitely would direct folks there.
And I'm going to take a wild guess that this is not a problem both with peaker plants, but particularly, the placing of highly polluting facilities in low-income neighborhoods. This is not a problem that is limited to New York City, but presumably we see it around much of the state and nationwide.
Yeah, I'll field that one. This is something that we've looked at quite extensively at Clean Energy Group. Yeah, in New York City, we're looking at about 16 peaker plants in New York State, based on data from the government. There's about 50 peaker plants in New York State. Across the country, there are over 1,000 peaker plants operating. They tend to be concentrated around population centers, so urban metropolitan areas. Unlike some of the other power plants that are more distant threats to the environment, these are often cited near populations and in communities and are directly impacting local emissions.
And a copy of the report can be found where?
The report can be found at peakcoalition.org.
Okay. Well, we want to thank Anel Hernandez, Associate Director of New York City Environmental Justice Alliance, Seth Mullendore, Vice President and Project Director of Clean Energy Group, and Rachel Spector of the New York Lawyers for the Public Interest. And this has been Mark Dunley with the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.